Thank you for tuning in today, and welcome to Grace Living for Everyday Life. The objective of this program, through teaching and interviews, is to help those who do not have a relationship with Jesus to discover the joy and simplicity of knowing Him, and for those who know Jesus, that they may discover the source of Grace Living, which is Jesus living through us. Your host, Bob Jones, will guide you through these teachings and interviews. We hope you find them helpful and enlightening. And now, here is your host for today's program, Bob Jones.
Today I'm continuing with the teaching series, Resting in Jesus' Life. I've been discussing the second section of the study, which deals with the opposition we face as Christians. I discussed previously that we all face opposition from our bent toward wrongdoing, which is part of us until the day we die. And also we face satanic opposition in this world. The only solution for dealing with this opposition is practicing drawing off of God's power by resting in Jesus' life and trusting in God's wonderful promises found in the Bible. Obviously, our bent towards evil, Satan and the world, can cause us a lot of trouble, but in addition, we face struggles in all facets of our lives. The third topic of the second section of this study is, what are the purpose of the trials and tribulations that we experience in our daily life? Why does life have to be such a struggle? A lot of us wish there could be some other way. We would probably like a cruise ship Christianity where we always have smooth sailing in life with little difficulty. And yet, in John 16:33, Jesus said, "In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." In Hebrews 13:5, God promises to never leave us or forsake us. And the good news is that God will be with us in the midst of our struggles. Jesus was referred to as Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the blessing of being a Christian is having God living within us. Continuing with our baseball analogy, life is a lot like going up to bat in a baseball game. Each time you step up to plate, you never know what's going to happen. You might get a curveball thrown at you, a bad call by the umpire, or you may even get hit by the pitch. Life is unpredictable. One day you can feel like you're on top of the world, and the next day you feel like the world's on top of you. As I've discussed in previous programs, God wants to come alongside each of us to swing the bat with us through all the ups and downs of life. And even though we practice resting and trusting in God, the struggles of life continue, but they become more bearable since God is helping to bear our burdens with their supernatural power. In James 1, verses 1 through 4, they imply the purpose of trials is to move us to spiritual maturity. And I don't know about you, but I kind of wish there was a spiritual growth vitamin pill you could take that would turn you into a super mature Christian. There's a pill for everything else. Why not that? Well, God does it the old-fashioned way by allowing us to experience adversity to have us practice a life of faith. Our overwhelming problems can move us in desperation to cry out to God for help. And since God the Father is referred to as Abba Father, which means Daddy, He looks forward to helping us. Psalm 62:1 states, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him." When we think of the word salvation, we often think of the day we received Jesus. On that day, we were saved from the penalty of our sins. The word salvation in the Bible has a much broader meaning. It can mean deliverance, rescue, safety, health, wholeness. The psalm was finding that only God had the means of solving his overwhelming problems. He was driven to an intimate dependency on God as his life. Practicing a life of dependency, that is a life of faith, is the path to spiritual maturity. We can get better at trusting and appropriating God's power, and at the same time realize more and more our personal inadequacy to deal with life struggles in our own strength. And don't get me wrong, there are many seasons of joy and many good things in our lives, but we do all experience a lot of trouble as well. Psalm 99-10 says, "Our life span is marked by trouble and sorrow, and our years quickly pass and we fly away." The realization of this struck home as one of my 20-year staff died recently in her sleep. And this event has thrown my life into great turmoil. And almost 2 years ago, my sister found her husband slumped over a computer, dead of a massive heart attack. Her life has been turned upside down after being happily married for over 35 years to her high school sweetheart. The trials can be far beyond our capability to handle in our own strength. Psalm 77:4 describes a distressful trial, which the psalmist says, "You kept my eyes from closing, and I was too troubled to speak." 2 Corinthians 1:8-11, the Apostle Paul states the reason for his life-threatening trial was so that he might not rely on himself, but on God. And many of the trials and tribulations are used by God to drive us to brokenness, away from self-dependence, to a deeper life of dependence on God as our life. Galatians 2:20 in the King James Version, Paul states he lives by the faith of the Son of God. A.B. Simpson, who wrote a number of books on grace living, talked about a time when he set out to have great faith in God, but then a trial came that took all his faith, and he was very discouraged. And then Jesus whispered, "Son, you have no real faith. Rest in my faith." And it's interesting that one of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The trials can be so devastating that we need to literally rest in the faith of God to endure them. But not all problems we face are to the magnitude of the loss of loved ones. Our challenges come in all shapes and sizes, big and little. My friend Gary describes daily life as having 100 chihuahuas nipping at your heels, and I would add a couple of pit bulls at times chasing us around. And if you think for a minute what causes you anxiety in your life, the list could be very big. These difficulties could vary from getting across a busy intersection, financial problems, relational troubles, and the myriad of other daily issues we face. These items should be our prayer list. It's wonderful to know our God is a God of details. Philippians 4:4-7 states, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 states, "Pray without ceasing." It means when you have trouble, pray. Luke 18:1, "Don't give up, pray." And Psalm 138:7-8 in the Ryrie Study Bible talks about, "Though we walk through trouble, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me." Or another translation says, "God will make an end to my troubles." Psalm 68:19, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." These verses encourage us to bring to God anything that is bothering us. Psalm 62:8 says, "Pour your heart out to the Lord." And Hebrews 4:16 reminds us that as God's child, we have access to the throne of God for grace and mercy in time of need. One missionary was asked about her prayer life, and she said, "My life's one long prayer." It's a good way of describing praying without ceasing as we face the struggles of daily living. We're all in the process of learning to depend on Jesus as our life. When we're up at the plate with Jesus, we're practicing leaning on Him to sustain us with His power, strength, character, wisdom as we face the curveballs of life. Unfortunately, sometimes in life we get hit by a pitch while up at the plate with Jesus. Romans 8:26-27 reminds us the Holy Spirit will be with us in our weakness and pick us up out of the dirt and help us get back in the game. Also, as teammates, we can help each other in times of trouble as the Holy Spirit directs us. In our deep times of distress, we often discover the heightened depth of God's love and faithfulness. Years ago, when I suffered a near nervous breakdown, I could see no good in the experience when I was going through it. And yet it was during this time of brokenness that God led me to learn about grace living. Many of these trials don't go away immediately. There can be a long recovery process. It feels like God has us running heavenly wind sprints with Him to develop our faith. And the source of our trials can be many, varied, and perplexing. I personally don't think we always understand clearly the source or fully understand the reason in all cases. Sin, sickness, death, pain in childbirth, sweating to make a living, are all a product of the fall. Mankind with a sinful bent and free will to do evil further complicates matters. Satanic forces bent on wreaking havoc add to the mix. Genetic defects, accidents, natural catastrophes, wars add to the confusion. Our foolish decisions, the sowing and reaping principle, add to the perplexity, as well as God's discipline and divine judgment thrown into the mix. But somehow, in the midst of this giant mess, God is in control of monitoring the impact upon our lives and is with us through it all. Psalm 34:17-19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of all of them." And 1 Peter 5:6-7 tells us to humble ourselves, cast all our anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And part of humbling ourselves is to bring everything to the Lord to seek His help. And these troubles can lead to a greater revelation of Christ's life through us in the midst of our struggles. Resting in Jesus' life happens in the midst of the struggles of life. Romans 5:5 tells us to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit He has given us. It seems strange that rejoicing, that is giving praise and thanksgiving to God in our trials, somehow releases the power of God to work in our difficult situations, big or small. Psalm 50:23 reminds us that thanking God prepares the way for deliverance. And this is normally not our first reaction. I love the Psalms, since the psalmist is very honest with God on how he feels about the situation he is facing. And yet, normally, by the end of the psalm, he is praising and thanking God for His love and faithfulness. When facing lousy situations, we can tell God we're fearful, depressed, discouraged, distressed, angry, frustrated, perplexed, and yet still tell God that we praise and thank Him that He's going to take this crummy situation and somehow work it for good. I personally struggle with giving thanks to God for the sudden death of my staff person. That seems kind of sick. And yet, it does seem possible to praise and thank God that He's faithful and true, and somehow will use this terrible tragedy for His glory and my good. Psalm 78 and 106 are my most unfavorite psalms, since they chronicle the unfaithfulness and rebellion of the Israelites. They moaned, they groaned, they complained, but also turned against God in unbelief, forgetting His great deliverances of the past. And it can be easy to be a junior Israelite as we face the trials of life. I've been convicted many times when trials come my way of my unbelief. Hanall Whitall Smith, who wrote The Secret of a Happy Christian Life, explained often in the morning she was met with an army of doubts regarding the faithfulness and goodness of God, and she would have to practice not entertaining them as an alcoholic would turn from the temptation to drink. If we're honest, the trials of life can be a catalyst to trust God or rebel against God through unbelief and thwart our spiritual growth process. 2 Corinthians 4:17 implies our troubles are achieving an eternal weight of glory. It's difficult to maintain that attitude when you're under the woodpile of affliction. It's a good reminder, though, that our suffering and trials that seem so meaningless can have eternal significance. I hope you are further convinced that the trials of life are used by God to break our self-confidence and increase our God confidence by resting in Jesus' life. Next time, I'll discuss in more detail what does it mean to rest in Jesus' life. I hope you'll join me for the next program.
This concludes today's program of Grace Living for Everyday Life. Thank you for listening. If you would like to contact Bob Jones, you can email him at bob4gracewalk@yahoo.com. That's bob4gracewalk@yahoo.com. Or you may contact him through the online community section of this website. We hope you will tune into the program next time, and have a grace-filled day.